Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, week six is almost here.
Holla,
incredible matchup.
When I do this, what do you think of?
WWE.
You scare me.
Give me a hug.
I swear, I can't.
Give me a hug.
People wonder, how do we deal with them? Key, how do we deal with them? All right, we're going to talk Bills Chiefs. The one Bills player, someone here, says the Chiefs have to neutralize. Also, Cowboys, Eagles, the latest on Dak Prescott's return. As you saw, the squad right there. I'm not even introducing these guys. I'm tired of y'all. All right, we begin with Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. 2-4-1 teams, an AFC championship game rematch with a couple megastar QBs. Buffalo, 3-point favorites on the road in Kansas City, by the way. We now begin welcoming in our ESPN insider, Jeremy Fowler, who's in Buffalo. How are the Bills, Jeremy, feeling heading into this matchup with the Chiefs?
Well, Laura, I just left the locker room. The Bills are working overtime to suppress any hype with this game. Among the go-to lines that I just heard, all the games count the same. Each game is the same size. It's the biggest game of the year because it's the next one. So they're prepared to not fuel any sort of motivation for the Chiefs. The most truth I got was from center Mitch Morse, who said, look, this rivalry's been a little too one-sided. We need to play our best when we play the best teams. Now, nobody had any problem, though, talking about Patrick Mahomes' greatness. Check this out.
When I'm watching games, you know, I love watching him play. You know, he's a fantastic player. He can do everything you want. His teammates love him, and I know he's got a good grasp on the locker room over there and how he carries himself. He's a special football player and a special guy. And anytime he's playing, I think people are watching. So, all that aside, you know, we're just trying to go execute a game plan.
Now, Allen's going to be a huge part of that game plan. Stephon Diggs was asked about Allen's heroics in Arrowhead last year. He said, did you just see that Pittsburgh game last week when he put up four touchdowns in the first half? They have come to expect this. And, Laura, I can expect when you're in Western New York, you see Josh Allen's face everywhere. I went to the grocery store to get a lunch today, and I came across Josh's Jax cereal. I don't even know what's going on here.
How do they taste,
you got Josh,
Jeremy,
on the cereal box.
You tried them?
You got I might dig it. No, they look terrible. But and then you got Josh Allen hot sauce, Bill's Mafia. There was a whole wall of Josh Allen stuff. So he's the guy around here, no doubt.
I love it. Jeremy, next up, mix the hot sauce with the cereal and
Jeremy,
see what you come up with.
Don't do that. No, don't do that, Jeremy.
That's what Dan don't would do. Just kidding.
You have to go to the bathroom. Don't do that.
Stop it.
Okay. I'm going to come back in a few minutes and do that.
I love it. All right. We'll check back in with you and find out how it went. Thanks to Jeremy for the latest there. I know, the win wasn't working in his favor, but he was the ultimate professional. You wouldn't have been able to get through it.
Key, you in New York today. We own one today, just in case you didn't know.
Look at him looking at us. He's like, get out of here, you weirdos.
I mean, y'all working, man. Y'all doing your jobs.
Okay, well, y'all working. Key is the picture of maturity. Dan, what kind of pressure can Buffalo put on Kansas City's defense by having players like Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs?
We got two and y'all don't. You know, that's the way I phrase it. You know, Kansas City defensively really plays two coverages, cover two and cover one, meaning man coverage. And the reality is they don't have two corners that can go punch for punch with both Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, last six games, got eight touchdowns, averaging 43 yards. That's Steph at the top. They want to double Steph, as they should. That's going to vacate the middle of the field. Josh peeks over there, he ain't open. But Gabe Davis is going to be open on a big post, and while they're double-teaming him, he doesn't have just the go route. He's got the ability to attack the middle of the field. Great job of protection. Dawson Knox can see Josh peek to the right, now peek to the middle. Now he realizes Gabe's getting doubled, but they're underneath him. He's got great speed down the field, and that equals a 98-yard touchdown. I want to give everyone that number again. Last six games, he has eight touchdowns, and the average length of that touchdown is 43 yards.
Wow.
So if they're going to play some man coverage, this is the reality. Josh, when he sees cover two, he does a great job right now just getting the ball out of his hands. When he sees man, there's a reason why they drafted McDuffie out of Washington, Kansas City, because they know that they don't have Ward anymore. They don't have two guys that can play straight up man coverage against those two receivers. And I think that leans to Buffalo having a benefit in that matchup.
Yeah, that's going to be the conundrum, man. And you think about it from another standpoint, like when you have what Buffalo saw last week from Las Vegas, the Raiders had a tremendous amount of success against Kansas City on the ground.
They put a fullback on the field.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. And this is a people hear this all the time. The NFL is a copycat league.
Yeah.
You're going to get tested and tried, Kansas City, yeah, on the ground based on what you saw materialize last week. Absolutely. But it also
Josh Allen's favorite player.
Yeah, but it also, to your point, Dan, it opened up the deep shots.
Yeah.
Right? We've been talking about getting Devontae Adams invested in that scheme. He only had 7 targets, but it went to the tune of 140 because of Josh Jacobs' success. So Kansas City has their hands full, like everybody does with the Buffalo Bills. But I think we focus so much on Josh Allen and so much on wide receivers. Ken Dorsey, now you have a sample size of what you can take advantage of with Kansas City defense. I think they need to lean into that play action a little bit to try to open that thing up for Diggs as well.
You know, I think a little bit different than you guys in terms of what to do with these wide receivers. Here's what I would do, and here's what Spagnuolo should do. I'm going to eliminate Stephon Diggs. I know it's hard. It's easier said than done. And I'm going to make Gabe Davis show me that you can be the number one guy when I eliminate Stephon Diggs. I'm going to double him. I'm getting in the face. I'm rerouting. I'm putting hands on him. They're giving – the Pittsburgh Steelers gave these guys free access. And whenever you give a wide receiver free access and they get up on your toes, there's nothing you can do. Make Josh Allen pull the ball down, cock it 2 or 3 times before he decides to throw it to another receiver, and allow your defensive lineman to get up on him. Now, look, it's a tall task. There's no question about it. That's why they have 2, and most people don't.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it being a tall task. The Chiefs have allowed 12 receiving touchdowns this season. That's tied for the most in the NFL.
What a great stat.
I know, isn't that good? I got some good ones today. Thanks to Buggy. Okay, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen enter week 6, ranking 1st and 2nd in touchdown passes this season. But they've been doing it in completely different ways. Allen leads the league in touchdown passes to wide receivers and on throws 20-plus yards downfield. Mahomes, on the other hand, leads the NFL in touchdown passes to tight ends and running backs, and has thrown a league-high 10 touchdowns less than 5 yards downfield. Here's Mahomes from earlier today, asked about his last battle with Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me it was battling through adversity. I was finding a way to win no matter what it took. I mean, that's a great football team, still a great football team, and we know it's going to come down to the wire every single time we play them. And so to see the guys respond, even when it kind of looked like it was all over, that's something that you'll always have.
NFL reporter Coley Harvey joins us now live from Kansas City. Coley, what is the feeling around the facility as the Chiefs gear up for this big rematch against the Bills?
Laura, I've got to start off by saying Jeremy Fowler went to the grocery store. I had Gates Barbecue for lunch. That's what you got to do when you're in Kansas City.
Right.
Just putting that down right here. One thing that Jeremy said, you guys are great. One thing that Jeremy said that was mirrored in the Chiefs locker room just a few moments ago was the fact that they were also trying to downplay this game, saying it's just another ball game. Beyond that, however, one of the things that stood out to me, Laura, is the fact that the Chiefs have so much admiration and respect for the Bills. Some of that starts with the coaching staffs on both teams. You have Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, who is on that same coaching tree that Andy Reid, the head coach of the Chiefs, has. And then there's also the quarterbacks. We've been talking about it all afternoon, where Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have so much admiration for one another. Mahomes earlier this afternoon said of Allen, this is a guy where we like to play each other, we like to compete against each other, and we like to win against each other. But at the end of the day, I also have so much respect for the type of player that Josh Allen is. When it comes to that respect, last year's game, the playoff game in January that happened in the stadium here behind me, you saw the two quarterbacks go to battle at the end of regulation, leading their offenses to score a combined 25 points at the end of regulation. Of that game, safety Justin Reed, who is playing in his first Bills-Chiefs matchup, he was watching and he said that just shows that the Chiefs are never out of it, and he's hoping to see that again this weekend.
Yeah, we kind of saw that on Monday night too. They were down 17-0, came roaring back. Thanks to Coley Harvey for joining us here. We now bring in Adam Schefter to the fold. And Adam, we begin with this. The Bills have had a bunch of injuries in their secondary. What's the latest on the status of Tre'Davious White?
Well, Laura, first and foremost, I was busy taping a podcast, didn't have time for lunch today. But as for Tre'Davious
White,
Adam. He was back at practice today for the first time. He's not going to play on Sunday, but this was his first time back at practice since tearing his ACL on Thanksgiving Day last year against New Orleans. And this is an encouraging sign for Buffalo, having its top defensive back there back at practice. The Bills have a bye next week after playing the Chiefs this week. And so we're looking at a point later this season of getting Tre'Davious White back and making an already tough defense that much tougher as Buffalo begins its stretch dive towards the postseason. Not going to play Sunday, but the signs are encouraging for him coming back relatively soon.
Yeah, that's massive.
That's good to hear.
His ability, yeah. Because the reality of Micah Hyde being lost for the year. I totally forgot about Tre'Davious.
Brother, listen.
Isn't that funny how you can forget about Tre'Davious White?
Yeah. That's big time. Good for him.
So, Marcus, what do you believe is the biggest matchup, the key matchup when Kansas City has the ball?
The others. Like, look, these receivers benefited last week. You did a phenomenal tape. I think this week.
Yeah.
You did a phenomenal tape on how Las Vegas defended Travis Kelce.
Yes.
And it opened up other portions of the field. I don't know if Buffalo is going to give him that much attention, right?
They will not.
Milano is a real good cover linebacker.
Correct.
Edmonds can run in the same space with Travis Kelce. Now, you don't want to live in defending Travis Kelce one-on-one.
Right.
But this is the game where Miko Hardman, this is the game where Sky Moore, you got to get him the ball in his hands in space. And MVS, these are explosive play type games. Yeah. Last year, when we think about this game, when I was losing my mind at the end of it, it was explosive plays that was the day of this game. And you're going to need that to not only combat what Josh Allen and this offense is going to do, but to also free up Travis Kelce. I know it sounds crazy, and we can use him as a chess piece to get these other guys open. This is going to have to be receivers making plays in man-to-man situations to allow them to run a full offense. And this may be the first game where we see throughout the duration of a game you missing Tyreek.
Yeah.
This may be the first one.
I think they're settling in, though, on their style of play. I think they're settling in on peppering people all the way around. And you could see it just from last week at the Raiders. There's a lot of complaining that Travis Kelce only had 25 yards receiving, but he did have four touchdowns. Between the 20 and the 20 is the key for them. If they could continue methodically moving the football down the field, taking the opportunities. Now, obviously, you got to protect him with Von Miller coming off the edge, but if he goes to those receivers like you're talking about, Marcus, and those guys come to play, Travis Kelce is the key in all of this once they get into the red zone. He's been the key inside the red zone since he's been in the National Football League. So we'll see what happens when they play each other and they face each other in Kansas City, but I can almost guarantee you somebody is going to have a breakout game at that wide receiver spot. I don't care what anybody says. It may be Juju. It may be Scanton. It may be another guy, but it's going to be somebody.
Yeah, Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, and A.J. Epinesa. Can you block them? That's the straight-up truth about this game. This game is very simple for Kansas City. If you can block your tackles with Von Miller, Gregory Rousseau, and A.J. Epinesa. I can tell everybody, when we sat with Brandon Bean, the Bills' general manager this year, he said the number one conversation this offseason, we did not get 15 on the ground last year in the playoff games. They don't want to get close to them. They don't want to pressure them. They want to bring them to the ground. We saw Orlando Brown last
struggle
week struggle.
Against Max, yep.
If those tackles can't hold up, the Chiefs will lose this football game. If they can hang a little bit, help with chips, but they got to be able to block them one-on-one. I'm telling everybody right now, you ain't going to see a lot of man coverage out of Buffalo. They're not dumb. They're going to play a lot of zone. They're going to say our front four is going to hold down the run and the pass game. That's why we went and got Von Miller. Kansas City, if you can't block them, you can't win. Straight up.
Dio, to your point, I 100% wholeheartedly agree with you. What makes this game great, though, is that 15 can go above that at times.
Totally.
Like, honestly, that is where my – because based on Max and Chandler Monday night, they not going to be able to hold up.
I agree.
Based on what we watched in Las Vegas. So, it'll
be – the difference is Buffalo is not going to play man coverage on the back end like the Raiders did.
Yeah, exactly.
Buffalo's going to play their zone, and they're going to make them be patient while also playing with chaos.
It's going to be it is fascinating to me when you think about how they will defend, and if Patrick Mahomes – and Travis Kelce in zone can find those windows.
Like, Patrick Mahomes has seen the seventh highest pressure rate of any quarterback this season. We'll see what it looks like on Sunday. An update on Devontae Adams' situation after shoving a credentialed person. You see it right there after Monday's loss to the Chiefs. Adam, we bring you back in. What's the latest with this situation?
Well, Lord, today Devontae Adams was charged with a misdemeanor assault in Kansas City for what the what they said is an intentional overt act that inflicted bodily injury on the photographer that was trying to cross the path there. Now, we'll see what happens with that particular case, but the NFL still is deliberating the discipline it wants to take against Devontae Adams. And now that we're past 4 o'clock and the Raiders are on a bye this upcoming week, there's no urgency for the NFL to have to make a decision. Sounds like we might not get something from the league even today, but clearly it's deciding whether or not to fine Devontae Adams or whether or not to suspend him. But we do know right now he has been charged with the misdemeanor assault, and we'll see how the case transpires.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that for sure. And more news from Adam coming throughout the show.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time now to read and react to the latest around the league, beginning with Cincinnati, where Joe Burrow addressed the Bengals' offensive woes today. Listen to this.
You can talk all you want about the play calling, but at the end of the day, players have to go out and execute the play the way it's supposed to be executed. And if we do that, the play is going to work. And so it's always tough in those situations, because if you go for it on fourth down and you get it, you look like the smartest dude in the world, and you don't get it, you know, you're going to take some heat. Those are the gambles that we face every single week in this profession. Didn't go our way this time. We've had several that have.
All right, Key, so Joe Burrow owning it a little bit. You see this Bengals offense turning it around?
You know what? I see that hat that he has on looks a little bit funny, but no, I don't, Laura. But here's what I would say. They're averaging about 21 points a game. If their defense was better, they can do that like the Dallas Cowboys and win a whole lot of games. They've got to get better at scoring, and they've got to get better at stopping people. And I understand exactly what Joe is talking about. They got some talent at the skill positions. They need to continue to protect him so he can show what he showed last year. If they keep playing the way that they're playing, they're going to find themselves being at home with us.
Oh, yeah, not so good. The Bengals are averaging the second fewest yards per play in the NFL this season. You got to think they could execute a little bit better, like Joe Burrow's saying. Things could be better. All right, let's go to New England, where Bill Belichick continues to be a national treasure with the media. Listen to this from earlier today.
How similar are Bailey Zappi and Mac Jones' skill sets? Has it been an easy transition having him, take the first snaps at practice?
Similar, both right-handed.
All right, so Adam actually just had an update on Mac Jones on his Twitter. I believe he was a limited participant in practice. We'll triple check that. Maybe they'll get my ear and tell me. Dan, what impressed you?
They were both right-handed?
Yeah.
He and Lamar Jackson are too.
What impressed you? You guys are the same. What impressed you about the New England offense last week with Bailey Zappi?
Patriots, you have my attention. Your ability to run the football, really up inside your offensive line, those guards in that center, it's really good right now. They do a phenomenal job of creating double teams, kind of denting the defense, pushing those double teams really in many ways into the linebackers, and they force your linebackers to kind of play really slow. This is the foundational part of their offense. And honestly, because of it, if I was going to throw a couple shackles on one team that's clearly out of the playoff picture right now to make some noise as this season gets going, Because of this inside run, I would say it's the New England Patriots. Right now, it's very impressive.
Wow. Yeah, we were right about that. Limited participant for Mac Jones. Adam Schefter updates a little bit more on Mac and the Patriots offense.
Don't matter.
Like that. Yeah, exactly. That works, to your point. All right, Dan's putting shekels on the Patriots. Let's go to Miami, where the Dolphins are looking to turn things around this week after getting 40 points scored on them by the Jets. Here's Mike McDaniel on what he's doing to get everyone focused on the Vikings.
Tyreek and the captains decided that they wanted to take a step forward with all of their opponent prep with regard to the team and their preparation with our game plans in general. So he made the move to take the ping pong tables out of the locker room. That to me is leadership.
You know, maybe we should take the ping pong tables out of our green room.
I was on a team that did that too. We went 0-16.
Well, the Dolphins are already off to a much better start then. Listen, if they start losing taking these ping pong tables out, that's a real big problem. You think it's going to work?
No. It's an adverse reaction to you having an unsuccessful Sunday in the NFL. And yeah. I get it. Like, I understand. You're trying to find things. Look, Tua has been out. Tua, obviously, everybody should know now that Tua makes a difference in the Miami Dolphins offense. And the other thing is this, man. Like, you don't want to become too up and down in this league and start having reactionary things to when you don't have success. Because, one, it's a marathon. The other thing is when you're in a locker room, especially among players, the camaraderie should translate to the field. If it's taking your attention away, you probably need another job if ping pong is causing you to play bad football.
Part of me feels like it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it sounds
it's
like either way they
it's
did
a
it.
Lot.
All right, so you mentioned Tua Tagovailoa. We're going to get into that next. An update on where his status is as he was back at practice. We'll tell you all about it as we carry on with NFL Live here, so stay tuned for that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We're back on NFL Live. You see him right there, Tua Tagovailoa, back at practice for the Dolphins, coming off of the controversial concussion. Honestly, just really good to see him back out there. Remember the lasting impression the last time we saw him on a field. Here's head coach Mike McDaniel on Tua's recovery and the situation with when we'll see him play again.
What I've been told is he can go out and throw and do some individual work this week. Today. So that's exciting for everybody just because, you know, really, we just miss his personality. When talking about this week and playing, I don't see him being active. I do not plan to have him play. This whole process is a little tricky, and today he's just getting back to playing football for the first time in 2 weeks.
So Teddy Bridgewater also out of quarterback spot there. Now we know Skylar Thompson will get the start this weekend. Dan, what can this Miami offense do to have success against Minnesota?
I'll make this easy. Miami wins this game if Mina Kimes comes on NFL Live on Monday and says two things. Number one, that the ball got out of Skylar Thompson's hands fastest anybody did in the NFL this weekend, 2.2 seconds. And then number two, the Dolphins lead the NFL in yards after the catch on Sunday. If she comes on and says that on Monday, Dolphins win. If she does not, the Dolphins will not win.
All right.
You got to protect the football, right? The quarterback has to protect the football. When you're the third guy, you're the third guy for a reason. The defense needs to come to the party. You run the ball. You look at some of the teams that are winning with the backup quarterbacks, the Dallas Cowboys and Cooper Rush. He's protecting the football. Jimmy G protecting the football. Okay, you look at Mr. Z up in New England protecting the football. If that's the case, then they'll have an opportunity and a chance. Got to give him a nickname, Laura.
I like
in a
that,
minute,
Pete.
he'll be selling cereal and hot sauce in New England.
Come on. What do you think, Swagoo?
I'm going squarely to the other side of the ball. This is when you have to, as a unit, being in this position before, be as supportive to your offense as you can possibly be.
Sure.
And the Miami Dolphins didn't get that accomplished last week, right? So now you look at they like to play man-to-man because they have corners and Xavier Howard and all of those guys. But to me, I'll be looking – to your point, Dio, this is about the line of scrimmage for the Miami Dolphins. Get your hands up, bat some balls down. Be quick to screens. Defensive linemen got to get out and run and be in traffic. All of the things that you preach about, pursuit, all of the things you preach about being in the right places at the right time, and it's more important when you have a backup quarterback to play more stringent on your communication and operation, because that is usually what's going to carry the day for you. Don't get outside yourselves, Miami. Play defense.
Xavier Howard versus Justin Jefferson.
It's
how
a
good
gorgeous,
is that?
It's that's a gorgeous a, thing.
That's a good one.
It's a gorgeous
thing. Oddsmakers currently has Minnesota as a 3.5-point favorites for Sunday's game. Also, Dan and I coordinated with the Dolphins graphics. Look at us. All right, time now for top stories brought to you by Golden Corral. We're going to stay in Miami with Adam here. What is the latest on Tyreek Hill?
Well, Laura, we saw him leave the game on Sunday with a foot injury. He was in a walking boot after the game, but the Dolphins are now confident and optimistic that he will be able to play Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, which is an encouraging sign. Last week, they had Jaylen Waddle banged up with the groin injury. Tyreek Hill left, so they were not at full strength, but they believe that Hill will be out there on Sunday, which is what they need for their rookie quarterback, Skylar Thompson. And then Mac Jones, the Patriots quarterback, back at practice today in a limited fashion. Look, we've heard Bill Belichick say day by day, one day at a time, he truly is at that level right now after missing the last two games. Day by day, we'll have a chance to play this week. If he can't, it'll be Bailey Zappe. And of course, the Indianapolis Colts held practice today. Jonathan Taylor, once again, after not playing last week, still did not practice today. And Nyheim Hines was a limited participant due to that concussion. So the Colts have some injury question marks to work out before their game on Sunday.
It is a great slate for week 6. And let's talk about another one of those games. Cowboys, Eagles.
Let's go!
Showdown, you guys. Eagles, 6-point favorites, is the only undefeated NFL team left. Marcus is being quiet for a reason. Cooper Rush has held his own and then some in Dak's absence. But what is Dak's status? Well, here's Mike McCarthy with an update on that.
Dak Prescott will be in the rehab group to start off with, but then he'll go through quarterback school. And he will do some light throwing at the end of practice.
In your, as you stand here right now, Cooper is starting Sunday against the Eagles.
We're preparing for Cooper to start against the Eagles.
Okay, Marcus, how do you feel now that Dak's back throwing at practice?
I feel good. I feel really good. Thank you, brother. Rose, you know what I'm saying? Listen, man, I'm hoping that when he gets back, he's back.
Sure.
Like, and not trying to work through something. That's the only thing I've been thinking about throughout this process. When Dak steps back on the field, he needs to be all the way back to what he can actually do, as opposed to having to call plays around something that he may be struggling with, or being limited in him pushing the ball downfield because he's not quite there yet. Just bring him back when he's ready.
Remember last year he came back from that ankle and everyone was like, it doesn't look like
it
himself. You don't want that.
Early. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I mean, and here's the reality. I get it. The Eagles are going to be a tougher opponent, but they haven't had to have him back, right?
It's
the
urgency may not be. It's a long season.
It's a long season. Get him back when it matters. Dan, how can the Eagles attack this dominant Cowboys defense, though?
Hey, man, I will go right at Micah Parsons.
What?
I figure out the way to attack him. I'm playing a little bit. You know, Mike, I love you. But this is what I would do. First of all, if I were the Philadelphia Eagles, I'd use some tempo. Go get a first down, get the line of scrimmage and no huddle. Now, this is Micah Parsons. When Micah Parsons is on the edge, I actually want to run the ball at him, but I want to do it in a very specific way. I want to put two tight ends on the field,
and I want to inside out block him. I don't want to try to run around block him or reach block him. I want a tight end that is going to be able to get up inside and drive him. That at least minimizes his athleticism. So two tight ends on the field to do that. The second thing, and you guys know me, when you run the football against this Dallas Cowboy offense, it's not it's not necessarily front side that's the most important, it's backside. The backside of the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line has got to have their best game of the season, because what happens is, watch these guys. The backside's all going to strain to kind of seal this for Saquon Barkley. And look what happens. When you strain on the backside, you give guys seams, like a Miles Sanders who's really creative with the ball in his hands afterwards. So get inside out with Michael when he's on the line of scrimmage, and then the backside of their run game's got to do a great job. Now, you got to figure out ways both personnel-wise and formationally to get Micah Parsons as an off-the-ball linebacker. Once that happens, I'm becoming a throwing football team. Not only do that, when he's off the ball, be aggressive, throwing the football, I want to have some max protection like the Rams did last week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys, potentially 8. I want 8 protection because this is still a good rush unit for the Cowboys, but I want Micah Parsons off the ball. And when I do that, listen, this secondary for the Dallas Cowboys, including this superstar, are really good players. I'm not going to lie, but they're nosy. They're nosy because they know their rush is so great. The ball's got to get out so they can be aggressive to picks. Use that against them. I said this early on. When you are playing against this team, max shots with max protection. I take a guy like A.J. Brown, Cooper Kupp right here, and I give him the chunk to kind of get the vision of these defenders down, and then I try to replace him over the top with a big post like a Quez Watkins. You got to take your shots at them. You can't let this defensive line think, okay, we're just going to get the ball out quick and play that game. When Micah's on the line of scrimmage, I'll run right at him, inside out block. And when Micah's off the ball, formation and personnel-wise, I got to take my shots. I got to protect, but I got to take my shots.
What do you think, Keith?
If you're going to take those shots, you better slow down that pass rush. And the way you slow down the pass rush is in the screen game. I think Swagoo knows that. What defense alignments like to do is they like to pin those ears back and go get a guy. If you can somehow mix in screens there, the RPO game, because make the defense alignment think. Make them slow it down. I've been on a bunch of great defenses with great defense alignment, and the one thing that they hated was not understanding or knowing what's coming at them. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles are one of the best teams at running the screen game in the National Football League.
I mean, I feel like there's some slander to this Cowboys defense right
what
now. It's got the big fella over here upset. Well, let me do it this way. Marcus, who needs to
Why
have a big
upset?
Game
Marcus?
For the Cowboys defense against this tough Eagles offense?
I'm trying to figure out what the hell y'all trying to do. It felt like to me y'all was trying to coach Philly to beat Dallas.
Hey,
man, in Philadelphia.
This is the opposite of rat poison.
What, man? What?
If Philadelphia is listening to me and Dan on a damn game plan, then they shouldn't even get off the bus.
Well, it made
yeah,
a lot
they
of
shouldn't
sense.
Even get off the bus.
It made a lot of sense.
I guarantee you. Dan.
Hey, Cuz. You. All right, let's get into this. Okay.
Yeah, come on.
Listen. First of all, it actually ties into what you just said. I think there are three guys who I really feel like are the most important players in this matchup.
Okay.
And it's something unconventional that nobody thinks about, but these guys are playing well. It's Leighton Vander Esch.
Mm.
We talked about the space that's created in this RPO system with Jalen and obviously Miles Sanders. You got to get on blocks and disengage and make tackles in space.
Okay.
Donovan Wilson, he's not getting enough attention.
Yeah.
He is playing great. Not good. Donovan Wilson is playing great. He's the guy that's making a lot of these open field tackles that Philly creates with their offense. And Jayron Kearse getting back. These safeties are under the most pressure in this defense than anybody, I believe.
The whole secondary,
The secondary, but the safeties in particular, Dio, because you know we've talked about the space that RPO creates. You miss a tackle.
Ooh.
It's 40 yards.
Yep.
And Jalen Hurts is not a quarterback when he breaks contain. He's a running back. So now you got to bring your pads and you got to get these dudes on the ground to live to continue these drives and possessions. As aggressive as Dallas defense is up front, these safeties will have a large amount of pressure. And not to mention on top with Kez, on top with Devontae Smith, and then also getting A.J. Brown on the ground as well in his little short hitting pops. These are the three dudes I believe that are under the most pressure for Dallas.
I like your three dudes. I cannot wait to see who all you were picking in this game. That'll come later in the week.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go
to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's time to take it to the mud.
Down
the big
in the
fellas,
trenches.
The trenches, the big nasties,
by
the big uglies, the 15 minutes for the big guys. O-line, D-line, five most important matchups this weekend.
Yep.
I'm going to number five, Myles Garrett versus Trent Brown. Myles has been out a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's back this week.
How will he look? You want to see the physicality. You want to see if Myles Garrett is going to be Myles Garrett.
Big time challenge.
Yeah, obviously went through that tragic, but made it back on the field.
Number four, we're going to go Cowboys, Philadelphia, but we're saving a different matchup.
Yeah.
Tyler Smith's been playing good football versus Montez Sweat.
Really good in the run game. You got to be careful now. Penalties are going to be critical
Josh
in this game. Josh, the holding has been an issue for Tyler in some situations. Josh is playing out of his mind right now.
Let's go number three, Jacksonville versus Indy. Let's go Cam Robinson versus Yannick Ngakoue.
Nobody needs it more than the Colts. And
You're
I understand
right.
Jacksonville
right.
is rolling. But remember this matchup last year, okay? The Indianapolis Colts booted from the playoffs. There's a lot of incentive in this game. And this pass rush is going to matter a lot when it comes to Trevor
Lawrence. Anytime this guy's on the board, he goes up. Von Miller, he came literally to Buffalo to whoop up on the tackles for the Chiefs and take Patrick Mahomes to the ground.
Struggled last week against Max Crosby, Chandler Jones. A lot of pressures were given up to the Las Vegas Raiders from the tackles for Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Orlando, this is the fullest your hands will be at this juncture in this season.
This is one of the best matchups of the whole weekend. It is the guy who literally is the best defensive player in the league right now outside of Aaron Donald, Micah Parsons versus Lane Johnson. And heavens no, I ain't putting you up there, Micah, as much as I love you. I'm putting Lane up there mainly because I don't like you.
I like Lane Johnson a lot. Lane Johnson is an absolute baller. And he is an experienced guy. So technique will come into play.
Okay.
Michael Parsons right now is leading the NFL.
I feel like I'm Lane Johnson and you're Micah Parsons right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to run through your face.
I'm going to probably win more times than not. So, Micah, handle your business, dog. I'm actually on TV, supposedly to be an analyst, but I am rooting for you and them boys. Ooh. Let's get it.
Professionalism.
Not.
We love it.
Let's go.
How about Green Bay, guys? The Packers lost to the Giants in London, and in the aftermath of the loss, Aaron Rodgers was upset with the locker room talk, namely from Jaire Alexander and the laissez-faire reaction to drop in the game. Rodgers is like, man, that's not okay. It's not okay to say, yeah, we'll get it next time. This is the NFL. So, Dan, what has been the biggest issue for this Packers defense this season? Because so much of the conversation around the offense, but maybe the defense needs to step up.
They're soft and slow.
Ooh.
Now, I don't mean soft like mentally. I mean soft structurally.
Yeah.
They give you so many of these completions. I remember playing against defenses like this that were softer zones, but they were crazy fast after the ball got snapped. The Chicago Bears back in the day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Colts of last year, they played a little bit of a softer zone, but it happened so quickly. And because that happened so quick, the ball would get popped out, fumbles, all that stuff. And they're not right now. Right now, they give you easy completions. They're soft in the secondary. And then they don't rally to the football and kind of put the fear of God in you when they get there right now. So until that changes, offense is sitting there telling, cool, I'm just going to take these easy completions because nothing bad happens.
Well, it's difficult because this is where you were supposed to hang your hat until this offense
That's
got going,
thought, right?
And even the signings, I thought Rashawn Gary would turn into a star, playing well.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, playing well. But as a unit, Dan, you hit the nail on the head, bro. You can't give up this lead against the New York Giants. As much as we want to press upon Aaron Rodgers and those guys, we talked about max protection. Jaire Alexander was ascending to be an elite corner. Still think should be in that conversation. These guys have to show up. I don't have much analytics, or I'm not going to come on here and tell you the Green Bay Packers need to play a different defense or a different coverage.
Right.
Their stars have to play better.
Yeah.
They got to make impact plays and game-changing type plays, and they are not getting it enough from them to impact games.
I agree. But the thing is, when you play soft zone like that, you got to take the ball away.
100%.
They're not great. Turnovers, not doing nothing with that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is what you guys are saying, but it also starts on the sideline with Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator. He's got to do a better job at getting his guys lined up and ready to go. When you talk about pre-snap reads, and you know this, Marcus, you want to go. You don't want to be out there thinking.
Absolutely.
If you look at the game last week against the Giants, they were running crosser routes because those guys were not ready. They were not in the face. They needed to challenge the receivers at the line of scrimmage. That wasn't something that they were doing. If they do that and they get the pre-snap things going, now they can think. They can be out there and understand, okay, this is what's coming. I see it. But when you're like kind of like Dan was saying, you're slow to moving around in 11 hats, and Joe knows better than this because he coached with us in Tampa, 11 hats to the football at all times. And it, most of the time, you see three or four with the Green Bay Packers and not all 11 hats.
Key, I love your point, man, because they at times do look like they're slow by thinking. And a lot of times, like even Dallas defense, as good as we've been talking about, they play fast.
Crazy.
And they overcome being
crazy
in some bad situational things or bad
the
positions.
The Bears are like that right
yeah,
now, too.
To your point, man, playing soft as far as coverage and not being down on guys, but also playing slow because it seems like they're trying to figure out what's coming.
Yeah, you're playing slow, so you can't finish at the end of games.
Yeah.
When they need to finish, they don't finish, and people take advantage of that.
Yeah.
You know, so much of creating turnovers is being anticipatory, and when you're slow like that, you really can't get anything going. The Packers defense has just four takeaways this season. That's tied for the third fewest in the NFL.
Great.
Adam, we saw Aaron Rodgers miss practice today. What's the latest on him?
Well, he has a thumb injury, Laura, and Matt LaFleur held him out of practice today and said he doesn't anticipate it being a problem for Sunday when the Packers play the New York Jets. So Rodgers should be out there, but when the starting quarterback misses practice on Wednesday, that always gets everybody's antenna up to wonder exactly if he's healthy, fully healthy, what his particular condition is. Right now, he's dealing with a thumb injury, didn't practice today, but in the words of the Packers, is expected to play on Sunday.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Thanks to Adam for the latest there. Of the great games on Sunday, this Giants versus Ravens matchup may be flying under the radar a little bit, but here's why it shouldn't. There's a lot of familiarity between these teams, with Lamar Jackson and Wink Martindale spending plenty of time together in Baltimore before Wink, of course, departed to be the DC in New York. So that leads us perfectly into Marcus's marquee matchup.
Yes.
We're gonna do the whole segment like this. By the way, you're really comfy.
You are too.
Like, take a little
nice,
nap on
nice
you.
Nice materials. Hey, everybody, this is a phenomenal matchup because Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants, used to reside in Baltimore. And guess who he saw practice every day and had to build plans for throughout the preseason? It was one Lamar Jackson. This is a phenomenal matchup for that reason. Lamar in the past has struggled against the blitz. Well, Lamar is elite against the blitz this year. Guess what Wink Martindale likes to do? He likes to pressure quarterbacks. So the chess match that will be played between Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants, and Lamar Jackson trying to figure out where that pressure is coming from is something to watch in this game. Look, Giants are 4-1. Daboll is up for Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Wink Martindale has extended this defense beyond just being a stand pat and try to figure things out. He wants to force the issue like he did in Baltimore, and Lamar has responded. We shall see who will win. This is
Man.
A legit marquee matchup.
You saw that Giants defense batting all
yes.
those footballs against
yes.
Aaron Rodgers last week. We'll see if they can do that against Lamar. And how Lamar Jackson handles the blitz will be a huge factor in Sunday's game, as will his play against man coverage in general. Through three games this season, Jackson was lighting up defenses in man coverage, posting a 95 QBR while throwing 7 touchdowns and no interceptions. Over the last two games, though, that hasn't been the case, as his QBR versus man coverage has dropped by 90 points. This season, the Giants defense has used man coverage at the fourth highest rate in the league. So that's one side of this game. But, Dan, let's take a look at the New York offense. You showed us earlier in the week about what Daniel Jones is doing well and really what Brian Daboll's done to put him in good situations. But it's not just him, right?
Absolutely. This offensive line for the Giants has been much maligned for years now. Saquon Barkley has 533 yards running the football this year. 315 of that is coming before contact. They took those two tackles early on. In the draft, it is paying tremendous dividends, and we've got to give them some love. Saquon's been great, but this unit is doing a good job of getting him to the second level, and then you watch his talent be on display.
Yeah, when you look at what head coach Brian Daboll has brought to the building, was a change in a complete culture from Joe Judge, right? Earlier in the year, Laura, one of the things that he did is he talked to his players on the sideline and said, hey, you want to go for two? They're like, yeah. He empowered them by going for two. They win the game. He's dancing with them in the locker room. You can tell there's a different shift in culture inside that locker room and in that building, and the players want to play for him. That's a huge factor in why they're sitting at 4-1.
It's fun to see. All right, time for one more thing before we go. Dan, it's a really special day for you. I cannot believe this anniversary 14 years ago to the day, Dan. Can you believe it? Ran out of the back of the end zone, and you've only gone up from there.
Wait, Laura, did you say anniversary? You got an anniversary for that?
Yes,
oh, we're celebrating. Oh, man, what is the world of football coming
to? We got him a cake earlier for this.
Keyshawn, could you imagine they would do that? You would never do that to me. We too cool.
Well,
do what to you? That right there?
Dan,
if my quarterback was to ever run out of the end zone, he better keep running out of the damn tunnel, man. Go home.
Come on, Key. I will tell you this. We love you so much, Dan, and you're so talented at so many things, and it's okay that you ran out of the back of the end zone, okay?
Hey, he's not the
Thanks
only
so
one.
Much,
Jimmy G joined
Thanks.
Him.
See you tomorrow.